The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of
That's
the
way
Nation
quiet.
Network of podcasts.
Are just my headphones?
By DoorDash.
It's quiet in my headphones, too.
Hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler,
it's like medium
and
normal for me.
Now.
Maybe we were just talking about the entire thing.
Maybe we're just like, who knows what this podcast is going to sound like today.
Well, do you want to just take this and like look at the audio?
I don't think so.
Do we just rip from here?
Yeah. Well, I see the, I'm looking at the board right now. Woz is recording the audio.
Woz got it.
So, all right. Here we go.
Okay.
Oilers Nation Radio. Us. Episode something. We don't know. Tyler's gone. Normally he keeps traveling the episodes. I tried to find it very briefly. Admittedly, I didn't put very much effort in it, if I'm being honest. But we're here. Episode.
We should say about Tyler is that he did a demonstration in the office last week in which he came in and we all sat down and he showed us how to use all the fancy equipment in the room. But Tyler also said he was going to create a PDF document that we could use to look at because none of us absorbed any of what he said.
Yeah.
And he didn't make the PDF document, so now we're just winging it.
And now he is on vacation. Hashtag avoid the grind. But that's on brand for Tyler. Bag milk, Dan. Coombsy in here. Waz sitting in for Tyler.
What's up?
We got plenty of weather stuff to talk about. The Young Stars tournament kicks off tonight. The preseason kicks off next week. Ho! Getting excited. But first, we start off every podcast with a shout out to our friends at Oodle Noodle with the delicious debate. Mr. Nation Dan, what you got for us this week?
Well, with the introduction of Jack Campbell and his new Oilers equipment mask, I thought I'd go to the well to try and make up for Tyler B. not here. And our delicious debate of the day is going to be, which was your favorite Oilers goalie mask over the entire time you've been an Oilers fan? What is your favorite goalie mask over the entire time you've been an Oilers fan? Waz, I'm going to start with you.
It's pretty simple. I'm going to go with Dwayne Rolston's back in 2006, 2007. It was just nice and clean.
Classic.
Yeah. Gold cage?
Yeah, yeah, gold cage.
That was sharp.
I liked the... There's a few ones that I liked. Bill Ranford's back in the day was super simple. I just liked the color scheme on it. I liked when Cujo did the Oilers version of his classic mask, but for a minute he had like an oil drippy mask that he also wore. Cam Talbot, I liked the Ghostbusters thing that he did on his mask. There's been some good ones.
Mine was Tommy Salo, I think. Tommy Salo had that, I think it was supposed to be like a Viking or Thor, and it was just like a big jacked guy with a beard, I think, holding like the Thorish hammer. I can't remember.
Yeah, look at that. He's got a big sword.
Yeah, it was sick. He was like a Viking.
Yeah.
It was really badass. I loved that as a kid. That was one of those things where I was like, oh, this is a cool thing about this sport when I was like 9 years old.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's a quality mask. Whereas Jack Campbell, he just went with the classic look. It's got the blue, the orange, the white, Oilers logo on the side. Dan, what do you think?
I'm just a huge fan of individual helmets. So like Cujo's mask to me is something that's followed him around the league and he just changes the color scheme based on the team he's on. So for me, it was always Cujo.
I thought Koskinen had some solid masks as well last year or even the year before. I don't really remember masks too well. So like...
Yeah. I find some of the more recent stuff has just been very like it pays homage to something that a previous goalie did here, which I would like to see a little bit more kind of uniqueness in helmet design.
But I just find like right now there's so many good artists doing these guys' masks now that just some of the artwork that goes on them is so incredibly intricate.
It's really true. And I think a lot of the guys, I think because of that talent, they just say, hey, this is the team I'm playing for. What are you going to do for me? And
that's why I also really respected guys like Jonas Hiller, where he would just rock a black mask. He's just like, fuck it.
I miss the player style masks, like the one that like Dominik Hasek or Arturs Urbe.
Yeah.
Like where he's wearing like a huge cage on kind of a player lid.
Yeah.
Or like Chris Osgood did the same thing.
I was thinking the same one.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore. I would love to see a goalie come up now, like through juniors going into the draft where he's rocking a player bucket with a weird mask.
Just Jofa equipment in general has got to come back.
Yes.
I was thinking about that earlier. Like, could you imagine if they just re-released the Jofa bucket from the 80s, the thing that had no protection? Like, they modernized the guts of the helmet, but the outside, the shell of it looked the exact same.
Yep.
I think people would like it.
I wonder who owns the rights to that brand now.
I hope they also own the rights to Cooperall, so those can come back as well.
I'm sure one of the bigger brands now has the rights to everything, but I could be wrong. Oh, it looks like Jofa is still alive.
Do you know Jofa also does equipment for horseback racing?
That's probably where the helmets are.
Maybe that's what they leaned into. They're just like, you know what? Our hockey stuff, we're done. We own the 80s, own the 90s.
Maybe they bring back leather helmets.
Yeah, maybe. You can kind of mix the gear up so you got half hockey, half like equestrian gear.
Yeah. Yes. Or maybe hockey players could just start rocking those helmets that the jockeys wear.
Well, I'm sure
with the little lid on top.
Nuge would love that.
They also look so handsome.
They make bandy balls too.
Ooh, what the fuck's a bandy ball?
You know bandy balls?
I've never
heard of this.
It's giant hockey.
Bandy ball, that looks like the big ball that you would throw during dodgeball in high school
class. The Omnikin ball? Do you guys ever have that? When you're like in elementary school gym and they just brought this huge insane ball and it was called the Omnikin ball?
I remember the red rubber ones that had the distinct smell and the sound when you would slap someone in the face with those when you were playing dodgeball.
The air sound, like,
or just like the, you know, when it hits somebody.
It's true. You knew you got a human. You knew when you caught human flesh with those balls. But what is this Omnikin thing you're talking
about? Yeah, I want to. Can you Google
Omnikin
that?
Ball? Hold on. Omnikin ball.
The thing I like about having Cam on the
huge ass ball.
Does Woz know?
He was born in like 2005.
So I definitely did not have a giant ball.
You guys
like
never
that.
Had the Omnikin ball?
No, we just had a parachute that came around.
Yeah, I did the parachute thing too. Yeah,
the parachute.
Yeah,
that was parachute. A good time.
The parachute would come around every once.
I love getting lost in that.
It was like traveling into a different dimension when you went under that parachute. That was cool.
It's so true. It's so
just like, could you like do kids now? Getting a little sidetracked here. Do kids now like go to do the parachute thing in the field and get just as excited as we did? Or now that they've got iPhone 14s in their pocket, they're just like, fuck this parachute. Yeah. I want to play Fortnite under here.
It simulates it for you in a 3D version now on an app.
In the metaverse?
Yeah.
I saw a game that is being constantly advertised to me now on TikTok and Instagram where the literal point of the game is that you just pressure wash your deck and shit.
Yes. Oh, wow.
It's supposed to be just like a relaxing real life game where you can wash your house with a pressure washer.
Just get a pressure washer and wash
your
house.
Get out there and do it.
It's because I can't stop buying all that goddamn avocado toast.
Yeah, just once I stop the avocado toast and get lattes from on my way into work, I'll be able to afford my own pressure washer.
You won't need pressure washer simulator.
Can we get an Omnikin? Omnikin?
Omnikin ball.
Can we get one in the office?
I feel like in 2022, legal would not allow us to have those because the Omnikin battles would get intense and we'd break stuff, including each other.
It looks like an Omnikin ball. I'm looking for the real big one here. Like the one that's huge is going to cost you like...
Well, just the bladder alone is $120.
Search by...
Is a bladder?
What do you mean a bladder?
The bladder inside the ball.
Oh, so you can make a curve.
If the ball bursts, you got to replace the bladder.
All right, here's a whole big Omnikin ball kit. That's going to cost you, and you're going to get a few balls here, and you're going to get like a blow-up thing and a
this
bag.
This is so expensive.
This is going to cost you for the premium kit is $905.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And this
no wonder school's only owned one.
Yeah.
This is weird because it has the dollar sign at the end of the number and also a comma for the cent. So I don't know if this is European.
Are you saying that Jay Woodcroft should implement this into his practices?
The Oilers should do that for their rookie camp this year. Take all the little Zoomer prospects you have and go run around in the field with the parachute and the Omnikin ball.
One thing that I did do recently, Coombsy, that I feel like it's not an Omnikin ball, but I feel like you would appreciate it. On Amazon, they have just generic wrestling title belts.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So this year I ordered one. So now we're going to have the answer title belt.
Oh, that's sick.
It's not a custom one like we were going to get a few years back. It's true. Just a shitty generic one, but I almost think that makes it better somehow.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think with that, like the grittier and dumber it looks, the funnier it is.
Well, wait till it comes here, pal, because you'll be excited. So I figure we come up with some kind of mannequin situation and we just tape a player's face to the mannequin, strap the belt around him. There's some content.
Where's the big monkey?
We traded it for an accordion.
Remember, we got the accordion.
Oh, there used to be an accordion here?
There used to be an accordion here. And we couldn't get rid of the accordion.
Then we traded the accordion for nothing.
I don't think kids on TikTok know what an accordion is. I could introduce that.
There's many kids that are stupid.
You should edit in the sound of an accordion music here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little polka. The kids love polka.
Yeah. A little polka.
Is there an app of an accordion simulator that we could get them to download?
Surely there is. Why learn to play a real instrument when you can play a digital version?
Yeah, Rock Band.
There you go. Delicious debate.
That was a really good debate.
For our friends at Oodle Noodle. Who has had the best goalie masks?
That's the one.
In Oilers history. Is there, what about outside of the Oilers? Is there anybody that sticks out? I always remember Felix Potvins as a kid for some reason.
I liked Belfour's mask. Belfour always had the eagle on his cheek. That was a good one.
Thomas had one, I think.
He had that kind of player bucket.
Yeah.
And Cheevers with his mask where it's the stitches, all the stitches on his face.
Oh, you're going old school now.
I'm
going.
Yeah, I just found, I quite like these old, what is this, Freddy or Jason? This is Freddy, right?
Freddy.
These are the Freddy masks where you look
Jason.
Like you're going to.
You're right.
Is it Jason?
It was Jason.
Yeah, I'm not a big horror movie guy at all. These old school masks where it looks like you're going to kill someone. These are cool.
Could you imagine now wearing those in 2022 when guys are ripping clappers from the point at 100 some miles an hour.
Just have shattered face masks everywhere.
It'd be amazing.
This one's good. It has the St. Louis Blues logo.
And apparently that goalie killed someone.
It's a teardrop on
his teardrop on it. He apparently
Jesus
killed a man. Allegedly, in my opinion.
I remember when I first learned about the teardrop.
What is
that?
It
was a big day for you, Waz.
It was. I was in a White Ave McDonald's.
Did someone have the teardrop and did they explain to you why they had it?
No, my friend had to explain to me. I'm like, that guy had a nice tattoo. He's like, oh, okay.
There you go.
We should start a video series where it's just like Waz learning about general things.
That's great.
We would have endless content. But what was the word Ryan Pike taught you? That was a very basic word, I thought.
Surly?
Yeah, surly, Coombsy.
I didn't get that. That was weird. I felt like...
Cam is nodding in approval.
I felt like it was like a Gen Xer meeting a Zoomer. I was like, what? Excuse me?
Ryan's not that old.
No, he's not. But he has kind of a...
He does have a flowery vocabulary.
A mature vibe to him.
I could see him drinking a nice scotch while running for Flames Nation.
I want to know from you, if you're listening to this, best Oilers helmet for a goaltender that you can think of. If you have an answer that we didn't touch on, hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Just hit us up with some feedback. Dan asked a good question. I'd like to know the answer.
Thanks.
That's for our friends at Oodle Noodle. They're coming for you, Calgary. I heard that the location in Calgary is opening very soon, and I'm torn on it because I don't feel like you should have the deliciousness that we have up here, but that's just me.
But there is some former Edmontonians and Northern Albertaners that do live in Calgary. They're forced to against their will, and so now they get Oodle Noodle.
Mm-hmm. Dan makes a good point. And if you're lazy, if you're in Edmonton, like I am, it's Friday, just order some Oodle Noodle with DoorDash. Ding dong.
Get nudes.
Cam, I want to turn this over to you because you wrote an article for OilersNation.com today. The Evander Kane settlement came through today. Seems like it's pushing pretty close to the start of the NHL season. I thought it was going to be over a while ago, but today Frank Saravalli had some news on Twitter. What's the latest on Evander Kane?
Yeah, so for the context for this is Evander Kane's contract by the San Jose Sharks was terminated back in January because he violated a COVID thing. I think what he had was a fake vaccine passport. Is that what it was?
Allegedly, or something like that.
Yeah. That was kind of the final straw. It seemed they didn't really want him around. Anyways, they got rid of his contract, and then the NHLPA filed a grievance on his behalf in which his case was going to be, hey, like this was the wrongful termination. San Jose's case was, no, it was fine, so your contract should go away. As we all know, he signs with the Oilers, and then he re-signs with them after the playoffs, four-year deal, $20.5 million, which is more money than the cash he was owed in the San Jose contract. So it kind of seemed like, hey, like this is all finished up. But then the whole case kind of lagged on into the summer because the arbitrator the NHL had for the case wasn't around in June or July for some reason. So it just kind of went on the whole summer. But then Frank reports that San Jose they've reached a settlement, Kane and the Sharks. So they're not going to go to arbitration at all. in which the settlement is San Jose is making a one-time payment of some undisclosed amount of money, and it's going to count against their salary cap from last year.
So and they had $5 million of space last year, according to Cap Friendly.
My best guess is the money that San Jose is paying him is he had two signing bonuses, one for 2022-23 and then one for 2024-25 at $2 million each. My guess is he just got a check for $4 million for both. That's my guess.
It'll be interesting. Obviously, I understand why the number is not out there. That's the point of settling before an arbitrator gets their hands on it, but yeah, I bet you're probably right. Paying out his signing bonuses that he would have got on July 1st or whatever that is, anyway, makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, what could have happened, though, if this did go to arbitration, this would have been like the wildest situation.
And this is the weird part.
Yeah. If what could have happened is if the arbitrator was like, you're right, you shouldn't have had your contract voided, his contract with the Sharks would have been reinstated and his deal with the Oilers would have been wiped. So he would have again been with the Sharks, the $7 million cap hit for 3 years left. And what likely would have happened is the Sharks would have just traded him to Edmonton, and that might have helped solve their cap problem because you could just send somebody back. But here we are.
Very strange.
Weird, weird, weird situation.
Super weird. I was like, even it was surprising that Kane signed a new contract with the Oilers before this was all settled in the first place. But here we are, September 16th on a Friday. It finally comes through a week before the preseason starts. So,
what a bizarre saga.
Hey. An extra chunk of change going to Evander Kane.
And content for us to talk about.
Amen. Amen. Traffic flooding into Coombsy's article today. Get the entire recap, OilersNation.com. There you go. In other news came out yesterday, a couple of items in a tweet from Daniel Nugent-Bowman at The Athletic. After 6 long years of waiting, the Edmonton Oilers have finally got Jason Demers. They brought him in on a PTO. If you don't remember, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, Waz, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
All right. 6 years ago, Peter Chiarelli paraded Jason Demers and Milan Lucic around a yet-to-be-opened Rogers Place. It was a big thing. It was a free agency thing. It was during that week period where you were allowed to talk to free agents but not sign them, even though they probably did, but they allegedly didn't or whatever the fuck.
It was a partially cloudy day. Yep. The sun was shining a little bit. And I feel like that was remarkable at the time because we had had a rough stretch. And I remember hearing them announce on the radio that they were driving around at that moment in a limousine. And that's, I don't know why that sticks out in my head, but it still does, that Demers and Lucic were driving around Edmonton in a limousine and it was partly cloudy.
I just remember seeing them in hard hats at Rogers Place.
Yeah. I remember that with Nurse and Connor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a guy like, I mean, fucking Sean Horkoff got paraded around that arena, the guts of that arena 1,000 times, barely got to play there. If he did even play
I don't
there.
Think he did.
No, he didn't.
No, they traded him away to Dallas.
Yeah. For Philip Larson and I think a 6th round pick.
Jeez. Oh, Philip Larson.
Weird one.
Never forget. Anyway, back to Demers. So he did not sign with the Oilers, obviously. Milan Lucic did. He ended up with the Florida Panthers that year. Then he went to Arizona. Last year, had a cup of coffee, if you even call that. 5 regular season games, 4 playoff games with Kazan Akbars in the KHL. But now he's in town on a PTO. My question to you, and I'm going to start with Cam. Right side as it is now. You got CeCe Bouchard, Barry, whatever order floats your boat. Does Demers fit in there anywhere?
I guess so. I mean, I think they're just trying to bring as much veteran depth in as possible so they have the option of starting Philip Broberg in the AHL just so that he can take on a big role, maybe spend like a month playing top pairing minutes down there working on some specific stuff because he doesn't have that many games under his belt in North America, so they probably don't want to throw him into the wolves. So you have Ryan Murray, Jason Demers, two, you know, veteran defensemen who can fill in. Kind of reminds me of a few years back when they had Jason Garrison in the mix, and it's like, this guy's probably not going to play. Yeah, that's a real
Jason throwback. Garrison, a.k.a. Jay Downton.
Yeah, exactly, the doppelganger. But yeah, it's kind of like that, where I would be shocked if Jason Demers and Ryan Murray combined to even play 82 games for the Oilers. I feel like they're just there to provide some depth early on. And then I think Broberg takes on a larger role later.
Yeah, well, I think you nailed it, Cam, in saying that, you know, if both Demers and Murray are playing on this same roster in Edmonton at any point in this season,
on a pairing together,
we've done some really bad things to get to that point. But I do think that this team has to have learned from last year. I mean, you look at a team with Darnell Nurse banged up, and then all of a sudden it was just kind of hold on for dear life and play some more team defense. So I think that there's nothing wrong with having some warm bodies that have played NHL minutes waiting in the wings for a possible injury. But does this tell, speaking of Darnell Nurse, does this say to you that Darnell is going to be out for a little bit.
Not me.
No?
No, I don't think so.
All these veteran numbers and names coming in?
In fact, I think the fact that they're lower-end veterans, like a Ryan Murray, like a Jason Demers, means that Darnell Nurse, I mean, I'm guessing, obviously, that he's going to be fine, that he's ready to go. Otherwise, they probably would have brought in somebody, hopefully, with a little bit more gravitas than a guy who, you know, has barely played.
That'd be a bad, bad, bad thing if Darnell Nurse was injured and they were like, you know what? We got Ryan Murray on the top pairing.
Well,
yeah, I just like, think it'd be awful.
I think that those are all, to me, those are all just replacement guys that you're looking at. Like you said, Coombe, less than 10 games for each of them. They're going to be serviceable. They're not going to get you burned.
That could probably clear waivers too. Yeah. Like, not the end of the world.
Yeah, that's
good. Waz, what do you make of a Jason Demers PTO?
I think it's just decent experience to have on the back end, especially with some of the young players coming around. I think Ken Holland was really hoping that Duncan Keith would have came back, but he had to settle with Jason Demers in terms of experience, and it's a depth signing. It's not really going to hurt you. Hopefully not. Like, hopefully they're not playing lots of minutes. Hopefully none. But, there's no harm, no foul in this one.
To me, I just see it as there's never a bad thing having competition at training camp. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe, like, heaven forbid, knock on wood, that somebody gets banged up in the preseason or whatever, and all of a sudden Jason Demers has to step in, right? Like, well, if you can have a situation where a Jason Demers, a guy who at this stage has played 699 NHL games, if he steps in because you kind of need him, at least as a stopgap, that's probably a better situation than having to call up, like, a Vincent Desharnais or some guy who's just never played because he happens to be right-handed. I don't even know if Vincent Desharnais is right-handed. Oh, nice. I nailed that one. Excellent guess by me.
Is he like 27 or something?
He did 4 years of college, and then it was a 2-year AHL deal, and they just signed him to the entry-level deal. Like,
I heard a lot of good things about him as well. He's like very, 6'7" or something.
Yeah,
like,
he's 6'7". Him and Dmitry Samarukov were the top pair down the stretch last year for Bakersfield. Could be interesting.
Other news that came out yesterday, along with the Jason Demers PTO, same tweet from DMB at The Athletic. Oilers are reportedly out on Vertanen. To me, of course, why shouldn't they be? Good. I didn't understand it anyway. Good.
I don't get why we were in on it, but also him signing a PTO doesn't necessarily mean we're out of him either. I think people are kind of forgetting this PTO thing just because it's been a minute since the Oilers have really brought in any kind of substantial PTOs.
Alex, the answer, Chiasson.
Jason Garrison.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
But
big names, man.
But
is that one Russian?
These are not guys that
Valentin Zaykov?
No, Chachev. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's a good pull.
There you go. Yeah, and so I mean, like, none of those guys are signed for sure. But you get to see them work with this lineup, and also, I don't know, the amount of sniffing around that we did on Jake Virtanen tells me that I think that they're going to be in the mix for a contract still. I don't know.
I was surprised that he even got that much attention beyond the legal thing. His numbers in the KHL weren't at all good.
No, they were terrible.
Jonathan Willis pointed out a few days ago, just familiar names that we all know in Oilers land who had a better point per game than him in the KHL, and those names are Josh Curry, Teemu Hartikainen, Nail Yakupov, Anton Slepyshev, Ryan Spooner, Taylor Beck, and Marcus Granlund. That is a list.
That is a list of Oilers legends if I have ever heard one.
That sums up the decade of darkness really well.
I feel like if Demers had played a few more games, he'd be on that list too.
I'd bring back Ryan Jones before bringing in, what's his name?
Vertanen.
Yeah, I already forgot his name.
I don't know. Like, to me, the fact that the Oilers' name came up like uncomfortably long in that conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, even a couple of days ago, Tommy Gazzola was like, it's either going to be Edmonton or Calgary.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, really? Why?
And then I'm like, well, hopefully it goes to Calgary. Hopefully.
But then we had Scoops Quadrelio in Vancouver. He was sniffing around talking to agents out there. And he's just like, honestly, man, I don't think it's going to be Edmonton.
Yeah.
I believe him.
There's enough guys in the mix that, I mean, it always seemed to me that they were kind of like, okay, if you need to dump some salary cap, so it's probably going to be Puljujärvi or Warren Fogle. I know, controversial thing. They probably wanted to just have some depth, but there are other guys you could just call up and try there. I mean, you can throw Dylan Holloway on the right side. I don't think it's that big of a deal. You have Justin Bailey, too. He's always put up unbelievably good numbers in the AHL.
I could also see a guy like Xavier Borgo coming in and stealing a spot, because that kid's got all kinds of skills.
He's advanced, yeah. He was fantastic in the QMJHL. Then you have veterans too. Seth Griffith, Greg McKegg. There's names.
Greg McKegg forever.
Number 69, Greg McKegg.
Nice. You didn't pick it though, you coward. We were all waiting.
Has there ever been an Oilers 69?
Not that I could find.
Very rare in the NHL.
It's been like three.
Greg McKegg was the only one I could actually find in a NHL jersey. So Cam's looking for that. Mentioned some prospects. The Young Stars tournament starts tonight in Penticton. We are going to have Chris Faber from Canucks Army covering it for the network. So he's probably going to have some video slash written content coming this weekend along with Cam regarding the tournament. What do you guys make of this tournament now? Because there was a time when, I mean, we're talking about Taylor Hall, Nugent Hopkins, like that era into Connor McDavid, where the Young Stars tournament was kind of the first look at the next guy who was going to come into the lineup and supposedly be the savior. Now it's a lot different. What do you make of the Young Stars tournament now?
I like it a lot just because it puts rookies into the same class against each other. And then that's when you really get to feel, you know, you're seeing a more true kind of indication of their skill set versus when they show up to train, like when Bourgault shows up to training camp and he's up against NHL size players. So for me, it's a cool litmus test for your prospects. But at the end of the day, it's all just getting them playing hockey. And that's the best part about it.
What do you think, Cam?
I always found it was like a fun way to kick off the year. It's like the hope springs eternal. Like it's kind of like spring training in baseball when you're watching a game in early March and you're like, oh yeah, it's the seventh inning and everyone's getting pulled and I'm going to get to see the team's number 5 to 17th ranked prospects come in and do something. And that's kind of what this is. I remember all the way back in the day, like you pointed out, it was, you know, Magnus Pajarvi, Jordan Eberle, all of their first ever looks we had of these guys, Anton Lander. First ever looks of them wearing an Oilers jersey was always a fun thing. And it was fun that it was going up against another team's prospects. So if you have beef with a Vancouver fan that's your friend or whatever, you could be like, oh, your prospects all suck. So you can let Quads and Faber know that, you know, every Vancouver prospect is dog shit because, you know, we have Bourgault and Holloway and Broberg ripping it up in Penticton.
To me, I like the baseball analogy in the sense that for me, the Young Stars tournament was always like pitchers are reporting. You know what I mean? It's like it's getting close to business time, but it's not quite business time.
It's hope springs eternal time. You're getting excited about the prospects. Someone's going to have a big performance and we're going to be like, that's the guy. It's going to be somebody weird.
Somebody weird's going to do it. And then they'll give them a chance to be the preseason champ. Lord knows we love our preseason champs around here.
It's going to be like Dino Cambeats. Who's one of the?
He's gonna just score a game like every game.
Score four goals. Everyone's gonna be like, "This is the big man."
Ty Nash.
Someone like that, you know.
Absolutely, I get it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I want to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance because they've got all the insurance products you could ever hope to need. Like prospects, they're kind of like insurance for the Oilers. Down the line, you're going to need them. Maybe. Hopefully. Maybe.
Maybe.
Hopefully at Cornerstones, they've got everything you need. Just in case. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, cornerstoneins.ca. Mm-hmm. Get a quote, submit a claim, get the whole process started right on the website. Again, cornerstoneins.ca. Before we get
How's this for a tagline, Bag Milk?
Go for it.
The best kind of people that you never want to have to speak to.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
There you go.
And if you miss
Cornerstone
it,
for free.
Go back a couple of episodes. Tyler told the whole story about Cornerstone helping him out to insure the nation truck. Helpful folks over there. Helpful folks over there. Before we move on, Dan, I know you want to mention the Hall of Fame, the Ring of Honor, whatever we're calling it at Rogers Place. You weren't here last week when we talked about it. So
I missed out, and I just think that that's it's such a good little, again, the Oilers are hitting on so many little low-key things that are helping fans engage and helping fans just kind of become and stay Oiler fans throughout, no matter what the results are. Obviously, the results right now are going to be really positive, but I love the idea of this Ring of Honor, and I'm so excited to hear about the announcements. I'm sad that we have to wait till November. But anyways, you guys did a great job covering it last week.
Thank Who's your first two picks? Week. Mine were Smitty and Doug Waite.
I responded to your tweet, and I said, like, to me, it's Smith and Smith. I just
Mike Smith?
Yeah. Mike Smith and Corey Smith. Jason and Ryan. To me, Jason Smith, Gator, he personifies what this team meant in the 90s. It wasn't always the prettiest, but goddamn was it rough, and it had a good amount of effort to it. And then Ryan Smith, I mean, you can't say anything bad about that guy when it comes to being an Edmonton Oiler. So, Jason Smith and Ryan Smith would be my two picks, but there's really not two answers that are wrong, and that's the best part.
Kumsy, who's your first two?
Well, I kind of thought, because they said in the release, they said, created to honor outstanding contributions or service to the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club by past members of the organization, may include players, coaches, trainers, staff, execs, anybody like that. So we know that all the banners are already going in. So your Gretzky's, Messier's, blah, blah. I kind of figured they would have something for Joey Moss there. That would make sense.
Make a ton of sense.
Ryan Smith is an obvious one, but I wondered if they were going to do kind of like a big 80s themed thing. So maybe they could honor Joey Moss, maybe somebody like Mac T. I don't know. I kind of thought that like it would make sense for Ryan Smith to be in the inaugural one, but it would also make sense for Ryan Smith to have his own one next year where he's the prime focus.
That'd be sweet.
Because I don't know if you want like a Ryan and Jason Smith, like that would make a ton of sense to go in together as being like a big, here's like the late 90s, 2000s Oilers and have them all going together. That's what I thought made sense, but you know. Who knows?
We'll see. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But yeah, no, I like that. I like the Joey Moss, I think, is a pretty solid option.
Yeah, amazing. Waz, who's your first two?
Obviously Ryan Smith's the given. The second one, I'm going to go with someone that suggested on the socials, Bill Hunter.
That's Wild Bill Hunter.
Yeah, essentially helped found the Oilers, I think, brought them into the WHA. So I think that's a really good shout. Some people, I think George LaRocque might be a good idea as well. Down the line.
I'm with Coomzee on that one though. Like George's needs his own event, and it needs to be a big thing.
It's nice that they're honoring these Oilers though. Not just like someone who had Smith. We all know what kind of impact he had, not only with the team, but the city. But you have guys like Sean Horkoff, Fernando Pisani, guys who are just fan favorites, cult heroes here. Right. And it's nice that there's a way to honor them. I like that.
Honor the whole 06 team.
Yeah, yes, they really should.
That's why when I talked to Rafi Torres, I'm like, hey, man, you're like an Oilers legend. And he's like, I don't know about that, man.
So. Well, we all remember some big Rafi Torres moments,
Milan,
man.
Mikhailik.
It's like that's exactly what I told Waz when he told me he talked to Rafi Torres, where it's just like, I remember him killing Milan Mihalik.
Yeah.
Changed him as a player.
Who was the D-man in the Detroit series? That was the shift. I think it was in game two. He crushed a D-man behind the net. Do you remember who it was? I can't remember.
I always remember Chris Pronger destroying Dan Cleary. Yeah,
that was
for me, anyone on that 06 team is a legend.
Dick Tarnstrom.
Yeah, Dick Tarnstrom is amazing.
Yaros
Bodchek.
They love that one outside the window.
people outside just started laughing.
Big fans of Yaros Bodchek.
Really intense.
A couple of other just general NHL items that I would like to get to. The Saddle Dome is collapsing.
I'm not happy about that. Like, I would be, but I'm not.
Why?
Why, Waz?
I'm going to a preseason game there, so I kind of want to survive.
They put a net up to catch them, Waz. It's okay.
Earlier this year, engineers installed netting around the ring beam to catch any pieces of concrete that appeared to be imminently ready to fall.
That's not good.
Structurally, there are no issues, though, according to the engineering firm. However, having pieces of concrete potentially falling on patrons outside is not a great thing. After concrete fell from the Saddle Dome's ring beam, punched a hole in the roof of a covering for the building's west entrance. If you've been on a nation bus trip to Calgary, I was Google Mapsing, and I'm pretty sure that's where we normally enter the building.
Maybe they're planning something.
Wow. Okay, so behind the scenes curtain peek, the Flames have made it this year. Now it is harder to purchase tickets to the Battle of Alberta than it's ever been. And so I think that they're just doing us a service by trying to keep us away from that decrepit old building.
So in your opinion, the Flames care about our health?
Yes. I think they're trying to save Edmontonians. Because they make you purchase extra tickets now if you want to purchase any tickets for that one.
Wow. Yeah, it's we'll tell you the math about it afterwards, but it doesn't make any sense.
So it's harder for us to go down there now. Darn.
Well, we could hypothetically, we could just do a trip down to Calgary, Oilers Nation fans, go watch the Flames play the Minnesota Wild, and we can just show up with Oilers stuff and just boo their players.
It's so true.
If that's what the Flames want, then fine.
We should just go outside. We should just stand outside of the arena as a group and watch until the concrete falls. We just stand there and we wait until we see chunks of concrete fall.
The Condors are playing there this year as well against the.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
We should do a little Condors trip. I've never watched an AHL game in person.
I would love to go to a Condors game.
Let's do it. Minor league hockey's a blast.
Working on it now. Let's go.
I think they should move the Flames to Red Deer in this case.
Well, actually, Edmonton owns Red Deer after beating them in the second round of the playoffs.
That was move part
them
of the south.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Move them south somewhere.
Well, we have Rexall. Rexall's probably in better shape than the Saddle Dome. So.
The weird part is that it is in better shape than the Saddle Dome.
It is. Now it's confirmed.
It hasn't been fucking operational for years
now.
Can we
swallow the Calgary Flames and have the Battle of Edmonton?
We can just call them Oilers 2.
Yes.
Shit Oilers.
Alberta Team 2.
They have that. There's Manchester City. There's Manchester United. It's like
Manchester 2.
According to City General Manager of Infrastructure, Michael Thompson, the building is currently safe and structurally sound, so we're going to continue evaluate and review if any further requirements are needed. Buildings of this age generally require maintenance, just like any other building or facility that we have.
Okay, so if you're reading between the lines there, that's a city person telling you to look up everywhere you go in Calgary, because what he says is fine in the Saddle Dome obviously is happening in other places too, and they don't have the nets up.
So I encourage you to go to the CBC article where the news broke that the Saddle Dome is falling apart, because they've got pictures of this ring thing, the ring beam around the Saddle Dome, and it just looks so decrepit, and just, it looks like one of those abandoned cities over in, like in China or like in Russia or something, where the infrastructure is collapsing on itself, but there are active games going to be happening there very soon.
It's
moral of the story, Saddle Dome, a dump.
That new HBO show, The Last of Us, is set in a post-apocalyptic era, and Calgary is in the show.
Did you just call The Last of Us an HBO show? I thought it was a PlayStation game.
It's becoming a show.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the game itself was enough of a show.
And it's featured in Calgary. They use Calgary as a location. So
really?
This kind of makes sense.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Yeah. Interesting.
They probably shot it at the Saddle Dome.
There you go. That's what I mean, right? So...
Cool.
Other thing I want to mention before we get to Ask the Idiots here. Just wanted everybody's thoughts real quick. The Jets announced today that they are stripping the captaincy from Blake Wheeler. I thought that was an interesting move. Wheeler, beloved in the city by the fans. Who knows what's going on in the dressing room, but I thought that was interesting. Taking the old C off. That is a page out of the San Jose Sharks playbook.
# no captain until an airport.
Well, then they're never going to have one.
They got to do it. They've got to make a stand.
The Jets have always had an issue with this stuff. We've been talking about them being kind of fractured since, I don't know, 5-6 years ago when Dustin Byfuglien was there. There was talk that there was very clearly two camps on the team. Because remember we...
threw Evander Kane's clothes in the shower.
Yeah, something like that. Because we heard all these stories about how important Matt Hendricks was when he was there.
Yes.
And then, because that was back in the dark years between playoff appearances for the Oilers. And we were we should have never let Matt Hendricks go because he's a key dressing room guy with the Jets. Because everyone on the Jets hates each other, apparently. So this kind of makes sense. I don't know why they don't just blow it up.
No, on paper, they're a really good team.
Well, you got Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's already said, I'm a free agent in 2 years, but I'm not re-signing here. So that's a trade request without a trade request.
He's accomplished nothing in the league.
Yeah, exactly. You've got Scheifele, who's kind of humming and hawing about even being open to an extension in Winnipeg. And now this thing with Blake Wheeler, what's going on there?
Walks into a room with less... stuff on his
just
shirt.
Blow it up, trade I don't know, you got tons of guys, they could do a pretty wicked rebuild. You trade away Hellebuck, somebody would give up an insane amount for him.
We tried yeah, we were really pushing for that.
I remember we came up with an idea that was hypothetical, that was the Bouchard for Hellebuck discussion. That was crazy.
They almost took it, we heard.
Really?
I mean
the Jets,
people that heard,
or like Jets fans.
Well, we made up in our heads is that they almost took
we
it.
We sent a fax to Kevin Sheppelton.
yeah.
And then we had a report come out that said that we were interested in Hellebuck, which I think was us.
I sent Sheveldae off a message on Nexopia, and he was really open to it.
This is just us spinning the content while we're making shit up.
This is what Tyler's not here.
You know what? When Tyler's not here, I'm allowed to do whatever I want.
Jets have captains. Not the Winnipeg Jets, though.
The only cap, you know who they should make captain is the lady who runs that that chicken place, Mitzi's in Winnipeg. They've got excellent tendies. You know what? Figurehead captain, that big photo of the queen that they have there. I'm just saying.
Is that that's not at that or their main arena?
That was the old one.
That's their old one.
Yeah, the old one.
That was all of the arenas in Canada had that. Like, I swear they had a picture of the queen at Maple Leafs Gardens as well.
They pulled out the one in Winnipeg though. Like, I think it was a year or two ago they actually pulled out the OG one. Oh. I don't know where it's at now though. All right.
That's what killed her.
She was disappointed. The Jets. I get it. Hot and cold performers. That comes after. Ask the Idiots is up first. I got a couple of questions here, boys. They submit these into my email. Tyler got one sent to him, so he forwarded that to me. So I got three questions this week. If you don't know the bit, I asked the boys a question, and they gave me their first thoughts because I haven't seen any of these. I'm going to start with Cam on this first question for Ask the Idiots. If you missed it, Tyler pitched in a quote-unquote celebrity baseball game last weekend. So he loaded the bases on balls, by the way. That is very important to mention there. This question comes in. I'm going to ask Cam first. He does Blue Jays Nation Radio twice a week with Tyler. Tyler has to pitch against the other people on this podcast. What is the outcome of your at-bat?
I'm certain that I could hit like a line drive off of Tyler. I am certain. I'm positive if Tyler tried to strike me out that he couldn't.
I have a few questions. What level of, like, what type of pitching is he doing?
Oh, we're doing fastball.
He's throwing like baseball.
He was overhand fastball. Throwing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yep.
If Tyler tries to groove in a fastball, I will take that to the opposite field.
Just because I play slow pitch and I'm kind of a big deal now, I'll say I'll hit a single into left.
Waz, you're pitching again, or Tyler's pitching at you. What are you doing with that pitch, that ball?
Whatever Dan said, because I know nothing about baseball.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'm taking that fucker yard. Tyler's got no gas.
Over the river?
If we are playing down at Remax Field, yes, Remax. I'm going to hit it out of the park and over the river.
John Ducey.
I like that, though. That's creative.
Tyler has got no gas. He's got no arm.
But doesn't he need to give you like a little bit of velocity to get that far, though?
He's just going
to
lay it in. Just like a little log. Nice little 40 like it's at 40 the home run derby.
There you go.
An old bag milk's going to take him yard.
Can you do it with a beer bat?
Yes.
There we go.
We should do this. This is something we could do in the next month before it snows.
Easily. Oh, we could absolutely do this.
We should do this.
We just have to make Tyler show up.
Tyler, yeah. Tyler can pitch to all four of us, and we'll all see what we can do with Tyler's little fastball.
He's going to plunk like four of us.
Oh, yeah. There's guarantee hits at least one of us.
Mm-hmm. When he says walked, he meant he hit people.
No,
walked. He just walked. He just loaded the bases on walks.
Maybe I think I could also draw a walk against Tyler, and I'd be happy to do it. I'd be like, you know what, Tyler? I just drew a walk.
I would draw a walk on Tyler because I think it would annoy him that I drew the walk.
Chirp him the whole way down the first base.
And I'm slowly walking to first base, just giving him the business the whole way.
Yeah.
I know I should ask Tyler this question, but he's not here. So
avoid the grind.
What was... How did he get invited there? Was it because he said he was a pitcher and...
No, he's a celebrity. He's a big celebrity.
But
like, who else was pitching? And were they all doing walks too?
It was just Tyler. Yeah, it was just Tyler. Every single
No, I don't know. I don't know the mechanics of why he was pitching, he used to pitch when he played fastball once upon a time.
Gotcha. And now he's really bad at it.
Yeah, now he's got no gas.
There you go. Let's do it. We're Tyler, going to Remax.
He's got a little baby arm. That's what I've heard. Word on the street.
Tyler's got a little baby arm.
Nation Dan, question number two. It seems like quite a few people are high on Stuart Skinner. It seems like quite a few people are high on Stuart Skinner, including myself. How long is it going to be until Skinner takes the crease away from Jack Campbell? My guess, 2 years.
That's what Jack Campbell signed up for, right? Is 2 years?
He's for 5 years. 5 years, 25 mil.
Oh. I'm going to guess by the start of next season. I bet you Stuart Skinner starts more games next year than Jack Campbell. I thought that was
by next year, like next season.
I don't know. I feel like Stuart's got this. I'm very confident. I didn't get to meet him on the weekend. Waz, what about you?
Oh, he's a very, very fine gentleman.
So where do you think?
I don't know. It's tough to say because I want to hope Jack Campbell can actually perform to the length of his contract. I mean, we paid him a lot of money. I hope he doesn't falter after a year and a half or 2 years, right? Like, you want to get the best out of him for the next, like, 3 years, I think. So I'm going to go with the long game here and give it 3 years for Stuart Skinner. But I think that they're going to end up playing a good chunk of games together. Like, it's going to be very split, honestly.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, too. It seems like this is kind of a 1A, 1B tandem thing going on. Like, Jack Campbell, his career high in games is 49. And before that, it was 31. And 49 was last year. So, I mean, I think Ken Holland even said outright the plan was to split it kind of like 50-30. So I wouldn't even be tremendously shocked if by next year
it was... Which is great.
Yeah.
Because there was a period where we had Cam Talbot and Laurent Brossoit between the pipes, and every time you put Brossoit in, you'd be like, oh shit, here we go.
And who was the other, the monster? Jonas Gustafsson they had as well.
Jesus. Oh, fuck. That's a name I forgot. That was an
order. Gustafsson and Brossoit in that...
Jason LaBarbera?
Well, that was way before. That season, Talbot played, I think, 75
games.
Yeah,
he's burnt out.
Oh, yeah, that one. So, he played just an extreme amount. That was when he broke Grant Fuhr's single-season record.
Yeah, because, I think more teams in the league are doing the 1A, 1B thing, so I bet you we see some kind of 40-40-ish split, give or take five games either way.
You never see, like, the Marty Broder 70 games a season anymore.
Who led the league last year?
Oh, I'm going to guess Vasilevsky.
Okay, you guys all put in some guesses and I'll look.
I'm going to say Vasilevsky or Shesterkin.
I'll go Vasilevsky.
Dan?
I said Vasilevsky already.
Are you looking at my screen? It's Juuse Saros who had 67, Hellebuyck 66. Yeah, no one topped
70. See, that's interesting because Juuse Saros missed the end of the season at a time which was probably the most critical for that team. They got absolutely stomped in the playoffs because he wasn't their goalie and David Rittich sucks.
I mean, they were... Oh, wait, they lost to the
Blues first. They lost to Colorado, right?
They lost to the Blues first, didn't they?
Nope.
No. They got swept by Colorado. Yeah, Colorado's Blues beat Minnesota.
I would not say that Juuse Saros would have made a difference.
They might have won one game.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think they would have got swept.
No. Because that third string goalie they had in Ingram played pretty well.
Yeah, but like there was that first game when Dave Rittich was in net and they like let in 10 or some shit like that. Like I don't remember how many it was, but it was not good.
That's on them to have started Dave Rittich though.
Well, big save Dave. He wasn't the same after that stick toss.
He actually, honestly, like did he have a single good start in his career after that? He fell off a cliff.
You really did.
Big save.
Waz, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, what's going on?
Last question, ask the idiots. If you could choose one song to be played before an Oilers game to get the crowd pumped, what would be your selection? This listener wants Fat Lip by Sum 41. Shout out to 2001.
Okay, I'm going to go with a throwback. So I used to play this back in NHL 10 all the time. Cinderella Man by Eminem.
That's a good jam.
I don't know why. It just hit different when I was playing NHL 10 and the teams were walking. I was like, holy shit, this is actually really good. So.
It's a good jam, too. Coombsy, you got an intro song for the Oilers that would be a little bit better than what they got now?
Yeah, I would go with The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. Just get everyone feeling a little somber before the game. No, I would take it back to Pump It. I think that should be the Oilers' thing forever.
I wish they could bring
that. I love it.
I thought you were going to go with something just even more obnoxious, like the Battle of New Orleans by Johnny Horton or something. Like, just like so stupid. Dan, you got a guess for an intro song?
17 minutes of In a Gata Da Vida, every game played by Oregon. That's sick. That's how I would get the crowd pumped up every time.
That episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's why you got to do it. Play the organist. Everybody's going to be fired up by the time she's done playing for 17 minutes straight.
I've been trying to push this, my pick, for years. I've written about it on the website a bunch of times. Invaders Must Die by The Prodigy is a great song for exactly that. They wouldn't do it. It's like, it's probably too English for them. Liam would like it, but nobody else would. I say Invaders Must Die by The Prodigy would be my pick. So there you go, Ask the Idiots. Submit your questions for next week. I like the segment. It good.
That's good.
It's fun. Waz, get the buttons ready. It is time for Hot and Cold Performers of the Week. Let's get to see if Waz can do these buttons. We are doing a little pre-show prep with Waz, and he's trying to figure out. I like what he's looking at the Roadcaster right now, Dan. Look at him. He's concentrating.
Nice.
Give a little test, Waz. Go for it.
Hot or cold?
Smoking hot.
Okay, so you got your hot buttons. We start with the cold, though. We're starting off with our veggies. Waz flipping through the buttons. Give that one a test. Go for it.
Oh, that's cold.
Maybe crank up that fader, too, on the old buttons. Ooh. Yep. There you go. Starting with Waz, since he is the man with the buttons. For our friends at Twig and Berries, go to twigandberries.ca, use the promo code NATION15. You'll get a discount on your order. Or if you're in St. Albert, just go check them out and shop in store, I should say. Maybe you'll see Tyler there shopping for new undies. Cam likes that. And also, if you go to the website, you get to spin the discount wheel that always pops up on the website. It's fun. Get yourself a discount. It's a good time, I promise. And as it was last week, the Nutsack Groin and Body Hair Trimmer, currently on sale. Fix up, look sharp. Was, for our friends at Twig and Berries, your cold performer of the week.
You.
The fuck?
Hot, you're hot and
the,
cold.
The fuck?
For your what take on, fuck? Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
I was not a fan of that.
Yeah, they're insanely boring.
I mean, I disagree with you, but everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It's just
me.
Won 13 Oscars for a reason, but, you know.
Because everybody's got bad taste. Give yourself a button, Waz.
Oh, that's cold.
There you go.
These are too soft.
Do the same ones.
Push it with a little velocity next time. Okay. Coombsy, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
I think I'm going to do baseball for both of them. That's usually what I did when I was... When we did this in the past, I'm going to criticize the American League Central Division in Major League Baseball. I don't think that they should send a team to the playoffs this year because all five of the teams are terrible.
Who would be leading that division right now?
Right now, it's Cleveland, and they're 76-66, and their whole franchise and what they're all about is they seem to actively not want to be in the playoffs. They always get rid of guys, and the White Sox are the next best team here, then the Minnesota Twins are kind of imploding. It's just all these dog shit teams. You may as well just have the whole AL East in there.
I don't know. We saw the Cleveland Guardians, and they played pretty good.
They just demolished
good.
The fucking Jays when we were there.
They kicked the shit out of the Jays back in
August when we were there.
For us to witness it.
It was garbage.
Well, that's because they get to play Kansas City and Detroit all the time, these terrible teams. So they have all this energy when they come and play, you know, the teams that are burnt out from actually having to go up against a good division. So I think the AL Central is a joke. And just because you win a division doesn't mean you should be in the playoffs. Let them have their AL fucking AL Central banner. They can celebrate winning the division with 86 wins or whatever it is, but don't put them in the playoffs. It's a waste.
Oh, that's cold.
Is that going to be it for all of them?
I don't know.
Nation Tan, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
Well, I finally was, it's going to be myself for breaking my lifelong streak of not getting COVID this week by getting COVID. And COVID sucks. If you haven't had it, do not recommend it. Get boosted, get vaccinated. Good stuff. Button me, Waz.
We'll see which one you get.
Oh,
there's only one. I'm looking at the list. There's like only one. It's
nailed it.
My Twig and Berries cold performer of the week is Waz. It's because he picked me. And he's getting the same fucking button over and over again.
It's a bit of a rivalry going on.
Waz, you are my cold performer of the week because give me the same button.
Oh, that's cold.
If he uses that button again,
oh, shit.
With Tyler.
All right, let's finish off the podcast with some good news. Nation Dan, let's start off with your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
Oh, my hot performer of the week is actually going to include Waz, but it's a threesome. It's a three group, so it's Kennedy, Kylie, and Waz, our team of people that headed out to Lloydminster this past Saturday with no idea what waited for them at the end of the line. It was a blast. You guys made some great content out of it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see Lloyd in the Boundary Battle of Alberta in our future as well.
I hope so.
Great job to the three crew. Kylie, Kennedy, and Waz. You get my hot performers of the week. Oh, that's
good. This guy is smoking hot.
There you go.
He figured out
how to do it for himself. That's weird.
Yeah, I'm also going to give Waz some love, despite the fact that he remains my cold performer of the week. You guys did a good job.
Do you guys have like a nickname for your trio?
The meme team.
Yeah, the meme team, apparently. Kennedy and Kylie came up with them. I'm just there. I'm just here to make content.
The Zoomers.
Shout out to the meme team.
Yeah.
Are you even a Zoomer?
I'm like a millennial.
You're right on the line.
I think he's right on the edit.
You're on the millennial Zoomer
Everyone
line.
Everyone thinks I'm 19
You're on
here.
Notice.
Like the Florida Georgia line, but the millennial Zoomer line. That's what you are.
Yeah.
I turned 26 in November.
Oh my God.
I remember I thought for a while there before we met in person that you were like 20.
I still think Waz is 12.
Wanya always
says that over and over again. He's like, yes. Waz is 17. He's in high school. He's adamant. And you've told him otherwise, but he doesn't.
I like it. I like feeling young. So.
Coombsy, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
Well, the Blue Jays this week had a 5-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays, which is a rare thing. This is because the season was smushed into a smaller calendar because the first week was lost due to the... Was it a lockout or a strike, whatever it was. So in this 5-game series, the Jays had 5 different starters all toss 6 innings or more,
which I thought was fantastic. You don't often see that in this day and age, so I thought Blue Jays starting pitching deserves a thumbs up.
I don't know what this button is, but we're
going to touch it. What the hell is going on?
That would be a cold performer button.
Oh, okay.
I think the bottom four are cold and the top four are
Let me just let me give this one a try.
Oh, that's cold.
Oh, it's a new one.
Nation Dan, your Twig and Berries Hop Performer of the Week.
I'm going to do it again. It's going to go to Kylie Kennedy. And
oh, you already went.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh, that's cold.
Was yeah. Your Twig and Berries Hop Performer of the Week.
I'm going to give it actually to Caroline Schwed. Salami, what a new name. She brought on Gene Principe onto her Kickback podcast. So if anyone wants to go check that out, Gene Principe talks footy with Caroline Schwed on Kickback. I got to get used to her new last name, but you know that comes with time.
Professionally, she's still Caroline Schwed, though.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Sweet.
Okay, so press the button.
The big guy is smoking hot.
My Twig and Berries Hot Performer of the Week is, I'm trying to scan right now real quick while I'm doing this, but I can't find the hero who came up with the nickname for Reed Schaefer of Ginger Beef.
Oh, that's actually really good.
Is fucking amazing.
So I thought that was Wanye.
It's so good. And I'm trying to find whoever the hero was in the comments on our Instagram page that came up with Ginger Beef. That's but so like, good. I don't know who it was, but that nickname for Reed Schaefer is incredible.
That's amazing.
It's so good. Ginger Beef. As a nickname for Reed Schaefer, Hot Performer of the Week, hands down.
That's fantastic.
Oh. Damn it, Waz.
Can you rescind whoever made Waz their Hot Performer and make him a cold performer?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Dan, you're going to give an amendment to your Hot Performer, I feel
it's
like.
It's actually just Kylie and Kennedy now.
Yep.
Sorry, Waz.
That's all good.
Great job, but no.
Tyler needs to do better with his labeling.
Oh, now we're blaming Tyler.
Yeah. That's fair.
Hit the blue one, Waz. Yeah. Hit the blue one.
No. Yep. Try that purple one. You haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
The purple one in the bottom left corner. Give that a try.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
Little Stephen A. Smith.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Buttons.
They're a good time. Even if Waz doesn't know how to use them. Still my cold performer, Waz.
That's okay.
I like you, though. I like you.
Our movie tastes are different.
Yeah, you just got bad taste. That's all.
I mean, okay, let's not start there.
And if you're listening to this right now, please never forget Waz is out here killing birds, allegedly, in my opinion.
What?
Birds aren't real.
Look, we don't need to talk about this right
now. Waz keeps finding dead birds in his neighborhood, and allegedly, in my opinion, he's the one putting them there.
You're changing their batteries?
Yeah, are you checking to see if they're real, Waz? Because they're not.
I remember in early COVID when they shut down all the birds to change their batteries.
They did.
There was no birds for a few
years. Oh, yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Weird.
It is a weird process every couple of years. Got to change those lithiums. All right. Any final thoughts on the Oilers or the Young Stars tournament or the week coming up?
Boo Flames.
Agreed.
That was my thoughts.
How about Connor McDavid looking very sexy in the Royal Blues?
Looks real sexy in the Royal Blues. Yeah. Nice haircut, clean shaven.
Nice.
Looks real good.
Nice jawline.
All right. That's where we'll wrap it up. For our friends at DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, and Twig and Berries, thank you for joining in on Oilers Nation Radio. Please leave your reviews for the podcast. I didn't check if we had any. That's Tyler's job. He's not here. Avoid the grind. So leave some reviews. You could win a gift card from Oodle Noodle when we bring it back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out Ginger Beef.
I promise I have the right button.
Best wishes.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.